Hello and welcome to Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman. It's good to be with you. On today's program, we're going to listen to some amazing African Christian music. They have a certain style, and there's so many different countries and people groups there. I really think you're going to be encouraged by hearing this powerful music. Also, I have a couple teachings I did on my YouTube channel. I know I've played a few of those. I just think they're really helpful. One is when we had the tsunami evacuation, and the other one is all about the earthquakes in the Bible, the top earthquakes in the Bible. I know you are going to jazz and get excited. So when I say by the Bible, that's my YouTube channel, but this is the Hour of Hope radio program. Let me pray. Let's get right into some wonderful African music. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for your word. I pray we'll be ready for your return. Thank you again. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, Hosanna.
and this is the Hour of Hope. We're celebrating the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Matthew Vroman of Safe Harbor Church, and we are focusing on African Christian music from different places in the continent of Africa. There was some from Nigeria. I hope that you are being blessed. We're going to continue, and then coming up, we're going to get my top five earthquake verses. Do you know about the verses on earthquakes in the Bible? I'm going to give you my top five on my YouTube episode. Let's continue with the music.
On the Aleutian Islands and extending into an advisory and a watch for much of the southern coast of Alaska.
Welcome to Buy the Bible. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Vroman. And a couple hours ago, we had a tsunami evacuation. I live on an island in Alaska. And that is the second one we've had in 2 weeks. We had to go up high because we were watching, because there was an earthquake that caused, I guess, the potential for a tsunami to happen. Tsunamis when like a big wave would sweep over and we had to get up to high ground. That made me think about what are my top five earthquake verses in the Bible or passages. Okay, the top five passages that deal with an earthquake. Let me give them to you. At number five, Matthew 24:7. For they were talking about the end times and the signs of the end times. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divine places. When the first tsunami happened, warning happened 2 weeks ago, I Googled earthquakes. And I was shocked because I discovered all over the globe there has been so many
earthquakes. So many. What does that tell me as a believer in the Bible, believer in Jesus Christ? God is, Jesus Christ had said, that's a sign when there's an increase of earthquakes, he is getting ready to return. Are we ready? Number four, Ezekiel 38:19. It says, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in the day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. That's talking about there is going to be a massive earthquake when God defends his nation, the people of Israel, against Gog and his allies when he at the end time. So that hasn't happened yet. Number three, Zechariah 14:3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Number four, verse four, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. What that's talking about is when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. He came as a savior. He's returning to judge the world as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and it is going to split open. That's going to be a scary time for those that don't know the Lord. You better get ready. Number two, Matthew 27:50-52. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus is on the cross. He dies on the cross. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of saints which slept arose. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, one of the things that happened was the earth shook, showing God was getting our attention. Hey, this is our Savior. This is the one that died for the sins of the world. The only way you can go to God is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for you. Make sure you have believed on him. And the final, number one, this is at the By the Bible top five, number one earthquake verse in the Bible or passage, Matthew 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. It says there was a great earthquake. Well, what was that great earthquake? Is when the stone was rolled away. What was that stone? It had been rolled over the tomb the body of Jesus was placed in. When he physically rose from the dead, an earthquake came and that stone was removed, symbolizing death had been defeated. When we were standing both times, especially the first time, for that tsunami, when we were worried about the tsunami, we were on the hill. Many people were terrified, but my wife's comments like, I know where I'm going. I thought, I know where I'm going to talk to Christopher. It's like, I knew where I was going. And why did we know that? We knew we were going to heaven because there was that earthquake and the event that happened when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That verse gives me such encouragement because it knows why I know whom I've believed on that he rose from the dead. If you want to know you're going to heaven, you need to trust Jesus Christ. That's the only way, because he's the only one that defeated death. He brought Lazarus back from the dead, and he's going to resurrect everyone that puts their faith in him. May you make sure you have done that. Let me pray with you, and then we are done with our top five earthquake verses. Could you put another top five you would like to see, a top five verses you would like to see, maybe top five verses on fear, top five verses on love, top five verses on Jesus, miracles, whichever. Just put what you want your top five to be, and I maybe will do them in future episodes. Let's close in prayer. Say, God, I want to be saved. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead, and I cling to you as my hope for salvation, as my hope. If I should die tonight, I put my hope in you, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah! Come on, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Thank you, praise God, for his mercy! Hallelujah, we praise you, the King of Kings.
You're holy, you are mighty. There is none like you, the King of Kings. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Come on, lift your voices. Praise Him,
praise
the Lord in your
own for His love, for His mercy.
God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, He led for you, He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Oh, because He lives, because He lives, oh, my fears are gone, because I know.
Everybody lift up your voice. Praise His holy name. He's worthy. He's glorious. He's mighty. Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought for the morrow will take care of itself. Jesus will take care of tomorrow. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. He's our God, He's mighty. And the Bible says, Matthew 28:20, that He will be with me to the very end of age. God is with us to the very end of age. Now we celebrate Him. We give Him the praise. We give Him the glory, because He's worthy. He's mighty. He's great. He's wonderful. He's holy. God is. He's holy. He's mighty. Somebody lift up your voice. Listen.
can wash away your sins. Hey, by the blood of Jesus. Oh, grace. Sing it.
I told you that true safety is not found through locks, alarms, or the latest tech, but through an ancient book that has been guiding billions for thousands of years. Imagine facing your deepest fears, not with fear, but with a powerful confidence. Today we're diving into the Bible's timeless blueprint for personal safety. You will not believe how relevant it is today. Welcome to By the Bible, your go-to channel that tackles life's big questions through the Bible. I'm Pastor Matthew, and on today's episode,
we are going to uncover a general understanding of true safety from God's Word. In this episode, I'm going to show you one verse that highlights what are the four key parts of truly, truly living safe in an unsafe world. Stick around, because today you are going to come away understanding how to be empowered and how to face whatever comes your way. Let's get to it. Let me start by reading you some stats. Did you know, if you're feeling unsafe, you are not the oddball. You are part of the majority. Let me read you some stats. This is just generally stats. This comes from SafeWise 2025, so this is up to date. 48% of Americans feel safe in the state they call home. That means 52% don't. Fear of walking alone at night. 40% of Americans are afraid to walk alone at night. It even goes through the roof with women versus men. 53% of women do not feel safe walking alone at night. Concern about crime and safety, SafeWise. 47% of Americans express a high level of concern about their safety and security. Listen to this. That means nearly half Americans are really worried about their personal safety. Anxiety about keeping self or family. 62% of Americans are very or somewhat anxious about keeping themselves or their family safe. So what we're talking about today is where Americans are at. And what I want to do is I want to open up the Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I want to look at four. If you're a Christian who does not feel safe, I really want to help you, and I want to help me as I struggle through this too. This was very helpful as I saw this verse. Don't turn away. If you've been stressed about fear, if you've been stressed about safety, you just wake up at night. Let's get into this. And look, they're not hard to understand. They're hard to apply. We're going to do some additional ones. But this is 2 Timothy 1:12. Let me read it to you, and then I will give you the four points that are involved in personal safety from God's perspective. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So there are four points in there that if you're building a foundation in concrete, there's certain things you have to mix in. These are the four components you have to mix in to get a foundational for personal safety. What we're going to do in the coming weeks, we're going to look at how you walk that out. So hopefully you will be the ones who, when you're asked, do you feel safe in your home or safe where you're at? You'll say yes, because of your faith in God. This verse has tremendous ability to transform those of us who have lived in fear to make us confident because of our relationship with God. Let's look at the first one. Paul wrote, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Number one, don't be surprised at what you suffer. I think sometimes we think safety is void of conflict. Safety is void of harm. Safety is void of things that are going to come our way that are just part of living on this life. We had a tsunami evacuation. Well, it didn't matter if it was Christian, non-Christian, believers in God or not. We were all up on that hill because everyone was facing the tsunami. And I love how Paul writes here, I for which cause I suffer these things. And the cause is the result, actually, of his commitment to God. In fact, sometimes believers have more trials because they experience adverse things like persecution trials because of their belief in God. So the first point you got to mix in there for that foundation of safety is, number one, don't be surprised at what you suffer. Number two, look at what he says. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. What that tells me, he is not fearful. He says, I'm suffering some things. He suffered a lot of intense things, death, where his life was threatened over and over and over again, jail, all those things. And he says, nevertheless, even though that's the reality, I am not ashamed. And I wrote a point in my Bible, don't be surprised at what you suffer. Number two, fears and emotion are powerful, but a choice. The bottom line on safety is, do we let fears lead us or do we let God's word lead us? Whatever you choose will dictate the emotional response. He says, but I'm not ashamed. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You see, Paul taking personal responsibility to not let his emotions get a hold of him. So number one, don't be surprised at what you suffer. Number two, fears and emotions are powerful, and they are, but a choice. Look at the number three reason. And this might be the key component of if you're going to walk out safely with God of everything. Look at what it says. I know, what did he know? I know whom I have believed. He knew whom he had believed on. So I wrote this, you've got to know God. And I don't mean God in a abstract sense. I mean in a real sense. Paul, you catch it there. He knew the living God through Jesus Christ. He says, I know him. And I thought about that for a minute. Some of the people on that hill when we were doing the tsunami evacuation had confidence. Why? Not because they could read the weather, not because they knew about how the waves are going to go, because simply they knew God. I'm not lying. There were three or four women that were up there praising God. When everybody else was scared, these women were singing praise to God. Why? Because they know God. They believe on God. And if you are going to have a personal safety view, the correct way to deal with safety, you've got to have and not just a relationship with God, but a personal, confident relationship with God. Because then he finishes, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul said, I believe in God. I know God. I'm confident of God. But then he says, and further, I take it a step, I'm persuaded. I mean, in other words, he's convinced of something. That God is able to take care of what he has committed for that day. And I wrote, commit the day to him. Whatever it is, my children, every day I need to commit them to the Lord. It doesn't mean the outcome is always what I expect, but when I commit them to the Lord, I put the commitment, I put the outcome in his hands. So let me review those four points again. Number one, don't be surprised at what you suffer. Don't be shocked when something comes your way. Because sometimes it comes our way, we're like, I thought God had it. Oh my gosh, I came up here and I'm working and I'm not getting the hours. Oh, God must have forgotten. Don't think that. Don't be surprised. Okay, yeah, that's part of it. Number two, fears and emotion are powerful. So Paul doesn't say, no, don't have those. But they're a choice. They're a choice. Number three, you've got to believe and know God personally. How do you do that? Through his word. You look at who he is. And number four, commit whatever it is to him this day. Your health, your finances, your family. Whatever the big thing is you're scared about for safety, commit those to the Lord. And then you have to release them. I know my biggest thing with my adult children who are beginning to live on their own is not, I'm always fighting to be in control, but I've got to release them to the Lord. Let me read you a quote. I actually wrote it. I started actually today with my new Bible writing a quote. And I want you to read this. This is somebody who during the Holocaust, a Dutch person went to jail, suffered, Corrie ten Boom. She wrote this, and this kind of summarizes everything of what we've talked about. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I trust that encourages you. I hope you will come back because we're going to flesh this out more and more and talk about how do we have personal safety in a world that is not safe. Have a good day. Let's remember to walk with God, live by the Bible, and then we will stare at anything, not fearfully, but confidently.
Children have such a disarming way about them. And when they sing, there's just nothing like it. Our South African Christmas celebration would not have been complete without the pure, sweet voices of the African Children's Choir. These choirs of African children have let their little light shine all over the world for more than 20 years as they have served as ambassadors for their homeland. Their joy and energy was contagious.
Well, this has been Hour of Hope. We've listened to a lot of African music. That last one was on the Gaither channel, and you heard a powerful testimony and beautiful singing. We're going to finish off with some more awesome African Christian music. Let me know if there's anything I can do to be a blessing. My email is MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. Be blessed. Look to Jesus. He is your hope. Before we get off, though, I want to pray for all the countries of Africa. Lord, bless the countries of Africa. Touch them with your powerful gospel. I pray for the people working there who are preaching. Be with them. And I pray for the people that are being persecuted, all the wars, that, Lord, I call out to you to bless that country. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.
Oh, monkey.